Well, brethren, it's a real joy to share a report on what is happening in Africa. A great deal has gone on throughout both East Africa, which is not where the Bible Student Committee works very much, West Africa, which is the focus of our work, Central Africa, and South Africa. And we're going to not be able to cover everything during this hour. But the work has been progressing in ways that we really see the Lord's hand in overruling. And we're going to try to share some of that with you during this period. Of course, the focus of getting the work started goes back into the 1960s, right after there was independence for some of the African nations like Nigeria. Our brethren from Chicago, such as Brother Carl, were there. Brother Mark Candle's been there. There was a committee formed to work with the interests that we were finding in, especially Nigeria, early on. And that work continued. The core that came from that in Nigeria has continued on, but starting in 1999, Brother Homer Montague was beginning a series of trips, not to Nigeria, but to a close neighbor of Nigeria, which is Ghana. And just to orient you, I'm going to flip. Oh, somebody could say, Brother Richard, you got to get the laptop. Here we go. Here, we'll get back to, okay, there. By the way, this photo is indeed from Africa, and in Africa, when there are issues in the village or just to keep everything smoothly humming, people will meet in open-air meetings under this kind of a large tree here. And it may not be apparent, but the spread of this tree is about 90 feet, 30 meters or so. So everybody in the village can get together and work things out. And the focus of the early work was in Nigeria, and that work has been continuing. Starting in 1999, all of us know Brother Homer and Brother Brian Montague, as well as Sister Kathy. They have been traveling. Sister Beverly Montague was very faithful traveling with Brother Homer until she passed away in 2015. And that photo I took in 2014 was on their 50th anniversary, if I'm remembering right. Where the effort began, and I'm for those that are looking online, the work began here in Nigeria, and the work has continued very strongly in Ghana. And because we've talked about that a lot, I want to focus on a new area where the work has opened up, and that's Cameroon. Cameroon is located this is Nigeria, so it's a neighbor of Nigeria, and Cameroon is a country where the two European languages that are spoken are English and French, but there's more French spoken than English. Now, this really hasn't reached into the newspapers here, but currently there's fighting going on between the English-speaking part of Cameroon, which wants to break away from the majority French-speaking part of Cameroon. That's not been a conflict of particular interest in our news, but quite a bit has been happening to get ecclesias established in Cameroon with elders that are grounded in the harvest message as we know and appreciate it. And so I wanted to begin by talking about that country. The just for orientation, this is Sister Paulina. She is the wife of Brother Alex Mokum, who is our leading elder in that country. And he comes from a background where he's had he's worked for the Cameroonian government. He's now retired, so he's got a comfortable income. He's traveled in Europe with Sister Paulina, but even so, nearly everybody also keeps some farmland where they're growing things, and of course the thing that grows well here is bananas. So Sister Paulina's handy with the machete, and that's Brother Richard of Cameroon with her, carrying the bananas. And I don't know if you noticed that that truck could use, you know, a little bit of maintenance, but everything's getting loaded onto that to get it to market. So our brethren, many of them come from comfortable middle-class African lifestyles, and Brother Alex falls into that category. At the same time, he still does some farming, and there are some brethren that are living on subsistence farming. But in Cameroon, we've actually seen the establishment of about 8 study groups with consecrated brethren. Why do I call them study groups? It's because most of these, the elders have been appointed, and so it's not totally functioning as an ecclesia yet. It's just getting launched, and they are getting themselves established. And we're looking here at both the ecclesia in Duwame, where Brother Alex Mokum and several other elders are able to lead that ecclesia, as well as one of the ecclesias in the French-speaking part of Cameroon, that Brother Bruno, I know it's not a French name, but Brother Bruno was the elder over there. And this is Brother Alex Mokum at the Pan-African Seminar in 2018. Next to him, obviously, it's me there in the middle. That's Brother Leonard Plange, who is the elder in the central region of Ghana, working in the Dunkwa area. That's right on the edge of the cocoa growing area. That's the main industry there. People will have a cocoa tree or two on their plot of land that they're maintaining, and then they bring the cocoa beans in. That's what is done in that area. And Brother Plunge has been very faithful in serving smaller groups as well as a larger ecclesia in Dunkwa, and he's the elder there. I thought this was very encouraging. This was a report that Brother Alex sent in March of this year, and I just wanted to read it to you. He said, "It's really encouraging this year of 2018. Among the resolutions," and I started the year with resolutions, they are told in the month of January to read the volumes. So many brethren have already read through the first volume, The Divine Plan of the Ages. He said, "This is a good sign. As you say, it is completing a journey of 1,000 miles, beginning with the first step." And then he says that, "I've finished the first volume, and I'm now reading the French version of the first volume." And There have been a number of brethren there on pilgrim visits. Many of you know Brother Joe Dolan. He has been there several times for extended visits. You may only know through some of the photos, and we're going to be showing some photos, Brother Cristino Miranda from India. He has a real gift as an evangelist, and he's really very, very good when he's traveled in a number of African countries for the Bible Student Committee, including Nigeria, and getting reports back, as well as getting the brethren grounded in the present truth. And, of course, Brother Bill Dutka has been there for an extended visit and for a seminar working with the leaders and traveling around the country. Brother Bill Dutka is the chairman of the Bible Student Committee for Africa. Those are the brethren that have been there doing the work with the English-speaking brethren, and then as they've spoken, their words have been translated into French. However, the work in Cameroon has been a tremendous blessing to the French brethren. Brother Regis Liberta has been over both to Cameroon and Ghana to work with the brethren there. And we know him because he's been here in Chicago, and those who've traveled to international convention know him. A brother that you might only know if you were at the international convention is Brother David Sutrick, who's also gone over and worked with the French-speaking brethren there. It's always a blessing to share the Lord's word, but really the encouraging thing for our French brethren is that France has become such a secular state that is not interested in talking about the Lord's word, that, you know, as these brethren have been witnessing decade upon decade, there has not been a response within the country of France itself. And now to go to a French-speaking country where there is a tremendous amount of interest in the message has really been a lift for these brethren. They have been very thankful for the privileges and the opportunities. And this has had a number of benefits, including taking the volumes and making sure that they are in a current version of French that is well translated. And so those have been made available. So then the next question comes, what's the best thing to do so that this material can be printed and placed in the hands of our brethren? And you would think, well, look, we can print it off anywhere. We can print it off right here in Chicago, and some of that's being done. The difficulty that's emerging is that now if we mail things or ship them, it is a very, very prohibitively expensive proposition to do that. And if you start talking about large volumes of material, then you get into needing to get it through customs, and there's a whole string of issues that make it important for us to actually look at using the on-demand printing that's available in Cameroon. You know, it's the same equipment that Bible Student Publications would have. They've got that operating in Cameroon. Is it more expensive to print there than in right here in Chicago? Yes. But when you look at the overall costs, it's actually the direction that we've gone for the printed material. At the same time, most of the brethren are now actually migrating towards having smartphones where they are able to get the material directly from things like the Christian Resources website. and they are having the study materials available right on their phone. And that's probably the direction it's going to go for most of the materials, except that, you know, Bible, everybody would like to have a Bible. They would like to have a manna song in the night and a hymn book. And, you know, I mean, they would like certainly having more of the materials, but for the most part, we're probably going to see this migration of technology taking place. So anyway, there's Brother Alex, and I want to show you the rest of the picture. These are the other elders in that class, and this is a very good development, because frequently the way things work, it's not unusual to have a class where there is one elder and all the rest are deacons, and it's sort of like we, you know, keep saying, well, we'd like to see as many qualified brethren serving as elder as possible. You know, we're not really interested in a command and control structure where there's one boss at the top and everything else flows down. We've been encouraging that, and in fact, that has happened in Cameroon. They also have something interesting. Once a month, the sisters will bring, not everybody is well off financially, and they will bring food on the last week of the month, and there will be a sharing session. So that's one of the things that takes place there. They've also started some young people seminars. And these are booklets that they have printed right there in Cameroon. Now, of course, you can print the booklets. The box has seen better days, okay? You know, but the booklets can be printed over there. And it's encouraging, because for the French literature that's used in Cameroon, the first volume has now been printed and supplied, but that's been printed in the U.S. and taken over there. Both the Tabernacle Shadows and Jesus the World Savior with Questions have been printed over there. And they've been printed not just to use in Cameroon, but also to use in the other French-speaking countries of West Africa. And we're going to get into that during our discussion here. These are the other materials that are available within the country there. God Has a Plan, Life After Death, Why God Permits Evil, Science and Creation, God's Remedy for a World Gone Mad, God and Reason, Armageddon, Then World Peace, How God Answers Prayer, and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I believe that God's Grand Plan of the Ages is undergoing translation right now, but I could be wrong. I just thought I would also show you, just one photo to give you a sense of the culture in that. Brother Alex, and that's his wife, Sister Paulina, he was officiating at a wedding wearing traditional clothes, but then this is the same couple with Brother Alex and his wife at the wedding reception. They went into they changed and put on traditional Western clothes. So there's a moving back and forth. I'm only citing that to make a point that these societies are undergoing some very rapid, contacting with the world that's out there on the internet. And I'm going to actually be showing you brethren who are coming in from witness work that's only taken place via the internet. And this is a new development that's really been a blessing at this time. The materials that have been printed off in French were going to be shared with Sierra Leone, Ivory Coast, and Togo, because those are three other West African countries that are French-speaking. So let's just take a look at making sure we know where those are on the map. There is Sierra Leone. Just to orient you, here's Nigeria, and there's Ghana. But Sierra Leone is further to the west on the coast. Then in the Ivory Coast, and that's also Cote d'Ivoire is, if I'm not murdering the French, is, you know, the French, it's predominantly French-speaking there. That's a neighbor to Ghana. And lastly, there's one of these real thin countries, Togo. Okay. Now, all three of these are French-speaking, and through internet contact, we had some interested parties in every one of these countries. So the response that we made was actually to send Brother Edward Nkansa from Ghana, who, of course, is very fluent in English. That's the language he speaks most of the time. But he's also capable and fluent in French. And Brother Cristino Miranda from India, who isn't a French speaker, but the two of them were going to Sierra Leone. And Brother Cristino wrote up a really nice report on this. If anybody would like this, you know, this is not something we're just trying to hold for the committee. This is something available. I'd love to share it with you. Just ask me for it. But the two of them went to Sierra Leone, and I did not know about Freetown, Sierra Leone, but that's what they flew into. And they called those who were interested first for a chart talk. Now, you'll notice that's not a public venue. There's Brother Cristino has the chart taped up on the wall. There's the bed and the two fans on, and giving a chart talk right there in the room to the interested brethren. But one thing that's been very effective in Africa is the use of witness tents, and that's because the way things are set up, there are vendors along the street everywhere. In fact, as you're driving through any of the cities, when you get to certain portions of the downtown area where the traffic slows up, you can expect that there will be street vendors with everything that they want to sell on their heads, and then there's tents off to the side for additional vending. And this is actually something that has worked out, because this is a collapsible tent that can be deployed literally in a matter of minutes. And then you can set up materials in there, and Brother Cristino is set up. And remember, this is the temperature here is really warm. He's set up, and he's put out a plan of the ages, and he's put out some booklets. And during the day of witnessing, there were 9 additional people that came through and were interested in finding out more about the group and the plan of the ages. And so things are just starting up in Sierra Leone. But there was also a public talk in a formal setting where, you know, there were public invited. And again, he was lecturing here on the keys to unlock the Bible, which is basically understanding the plan. So that is, I'm not going to show the slides from the other two French-speaking countries, because this is the protocol that the committee has been supporting in these countries. We've got the literature available, the French literature is available, and we've invited those that have been in contact with us ahead of time to come for a private meeting. For those that are really the most interested, they've been watching how the witness tent gets set up, and in some cases assisting on that. And then there's been a public talk. So this is how the interest is being built in those areas. And I do want to go back to Ghana at this time. And we're going and talking about the meetings that we've been holding over the last several years in Accra, which is the capital that you would fly into. That's right on the coast. And this was the group that was available, that was attending in the April 2018 seminar. Again, if you pulled everything together, this is usually about 110 are invited out. We like to try to see the room filled to capacity. We cannot let everyone who might want to come in, because this is a seminar especially focused on the leaders. And what we do in this case is we're asking the leaders to speak on assigned topics followed by questions. And the purpose of that is to make sure that they are comfortable not only in public speaking, but in answering the logical questions that are coming up and showing that they've prepared the material. When we did have this seminar, there were a number who symbolized their consecration. They felt they were consecrated, but they did want to see their consecration symbolized, you know, while they were together with the brethren. So we're looking at the ones who attended here. And the one giving the baptismal discourse is Brother Eliezer Jujuko from Uganda, who is really a blessing. And he comes from East Africa. He's very well grounded in the truth, and we've been really blessed to get to know him. And if you're looking, you can see that's the back of Leah's head. She was there for that. If you're trying to say who on earth is the blonde showing up in those photos. Brother Omar was taking a selfie, and I'm talking with Brother Eliezer Jujuko that I just mentioned. This is Brother Israel Logie from South Africa, who is very active in the work down there and was able to attend. But I wanted to take this to specifically focus you on Brother Omar. That's an Islamic name, Mosque of Omar, same Omar, you know, great Muslim general. He comes from a background in Islam, and he married a Christian wife, and of course he had a lot of questions. He had a lot of questions. Questions about how to relate the Quran to the New Testament and the Bible. And, of course, Jesus is considered to be a great prophet of Islam. Most Muslims are not believing, of course, they will not believe the Trinity, but they believe that Jesus was a prophet. They do not believe that he was the savior of the world. They do not believe that he was crucified. But Omar had a lot of questions based on, you know, his wife's faith, and he needed to find some answers. And so what do you do when you've got questions and you're looking for answers? You go to the Internet. That's what's happening everywhere in the world, brethren. He went to the Internet, and when he was there, what made the most sense? Well, what made the most sense was the presentation of the present truth that you can find in our materials. And he started reading it. He's a teacher. He comes from Rwanda. That's where there was the horrific genocide about 20 years ago, a little less than that. A little more than 20 years ago. And he became persuaded that this was the only thing that really made sense, and he left the Islamic faith, which is not a death sentence in Africa the way it would be in the Middle East, although it could be. But he's left Islam. He is a very good student, and his discourse in June of this year was really well done. So he took a selfie and posted it on Facebook, and I said, oh, that's a great selfie. So that's Brother Omar, and that's just giving you a little flavor of some of the excitement of what's going on as we go to these countries. The other thing is the blessing that we have of being together with brethren who have been in the way for many, many decades. Three of the brethren who were in attendance, two of whom who gave discourses at the 2018 Pan-Africa, have passed away. It's not really possible to get good health care as the advances of age come on, and they passed away. Now we're going to talk about humanitarian aid as we move on in this. I did want to talk about the young adult seminar that just took place a month ago, and what we did was not only invite young adults who are now learning English as fluently as anybody, so they're able to read and work with the material, and we're not talking about needing to translate. We also had some of the leaders from a few of the countries who are looking at how to set up a young adult seminar. Now, Brother Alex Mokum didn't come because Cameroon's already up and running on young people seminars. But we did have Brother Omar Ndamitsa from Rwanda come, and we did have a group of some of the young people. Right here at the center, you might not remember her, but that's Brother Brian Montague's daughter, Karen. And for the young people who came from North America, it really was an experience that was very powerful, and one that really, I think, changed their perspective of the world when you have the privilege of doing this. We have brethren from Nigeria, and particularly Brother Lawton here is he's consecrated and he's enthusiastic and he's working hard in his studies, and he was a blessing. Brother David Obiri from Nigeria is the son of Brother Moses Obiri, who is one of the elders in Nigeria, and we invite Brother Moses to come to Ghana to run leadership seminars. His son is doing excellently in terms of not only studying, but showing that he can lead studies, and he's coming along very well. For people that you might see in Chicago, there's Rosie Hangs. Over there, she was able to attend. Brother Ryan was there's Brother Brian, Brother Ryan, and myself. And Brother Homer is right next to us there. This was such an encouragement to him to see again. You know, you don't get a lot of response witnessing up in Canada, and to see the energy and enthusiasm. And because of time, I'm really not going to go into the program too much. We were planning on 8 additional brethren from India, young brethren being there, but that did not work out, and hopefully the lesson was learned about how to, you know, arrange for visas in the future, and it'll work out some other time by the Lord's grace. But the way we have, starting with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, half a day, there were 3.5 days, full days of study and questions, as well as breakout studies that we went through. And that was a blessing. And I really won't go into that. I want to stop and talk a little bit about humanitarian aid, because that affects a lot of us. We get things that show up in our email, or we may find things on Facebook that we need to find out about. Now, why am I showing this map? Well, it's not just that I personally know Dr. Patrick McGuire and have respect for his work in modeling. And by modeling, I mean looking at systems and looking at the Earth system and then projecting what's going to happen to the Earth system. Because I remember talking, I said, oh, yeah, I was talking to this modeler and that modeler, and there was a sister one time who thought that I was in the fashion business. It's like, no. But for the modeling I'm talking about is really a different type of modeling. This is climate modeling. What's interesting is you see this is more rain that where we're looking at tan. That's business as usual. So if it's rainy as usual, it's tan. If it's dry as usual, it's tan. Where you see it going this direction is where things are drying out. Where you see it going this direction, it's getting wetter. And there's very large evaporation off the ocean in the area. If you want to be technical, they're called Hadley cells. And they used to go much further into the Sahara, but now they're actually raining out about where you get into the cocoa growing region here in this little band. This is Ghana. And that means there's flooding there. They are getting buckets and buckets and buckets of rain, and it's flooding that area. And then there's areas here that are moving towards drying out, and particularly there have been reports on famine in Kenya, and because funds came in to distribute specifically for assisting on that, we normally don't work in East Africa, but we did get involved. And I want to show you the two brothers that we tasked with doing that. Were Brother David Mutai, who has the closest contact and knows these brethren, and then Brother Magesha, who comes from Uganda. We had them go and buy food, beans, rice. Even they had to bring some fresh water as well, and some other staples. And they brought them up into this area and passed this along for the relief of the brethren. The only way we feel comfortable in doing things like this is when there are elders in whom we've got confidence and we have them, you know, directly reporting on the situation and then reporting back to us on what takes place. There's a lot of things that can come across in your email that are really stories that tear at your heart. And I'm going to show you a scam. I'm going to show you why the committee limits the distribution of funds for humanitarian aid. First, we want to focus on the gospel. Okay, that is the purpose of the committee. there's more humanitarian aid than we have funds for. But only if we're working with a local elder who's earned our confidence will we go. And there was a case, there's a case here where there were several pictures of a purported accident with a bus and an injured brother, and then a hospital bill here saying head broken, hip broken, neck broken, and broken, whatever it is, hand with injuries, needs urgent treatment, and then the cost in the local currency, which was a couple thousand dollars when it's translated into U.S. currency. And it turned out that these two individuals had been playing the brethren for more than a year, you know, about the great studies they were doing and the work that was going on. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we had a terrible accident. Here's the photos. We need money. Send money. And we asked a few questions. We asked a few questions about the whole prospect of what was going on. It turned out that we were able to actually get in touch with the medical facility where the accident victims were supposed to be at, and we found out that the whole thing was more than a 1 year in preparation scam. Now, I'm telling you this because I can see on Facebook, I know there's some brethren who buy into everything that's there, and there truly are humanitarian crisis needs. But you've got to know when you're actually helping a crisis, and you got to know when it's a scam. And the only way we know is we've got an expression in the committee, boots on the ground. If you don't have boots on the ground, you don't know. And if you think you do know, and there's one brother who is very emphatic in talking to me, oh, I know exactly what's going on. And it's like, you really don't know what's going on. So I'm giving you one example that took place in the last year. And I'm going to go back to... I'm going to go back to this opening slide here. Brethren, there are blessings that have taken place. Brother Bill and Sister Shana worked to be ready with a reading program on Read the Volumes that was taking place right after the Young Adult Seminar ended in June. And this was a program for reading through the volumes in 21 months. And that got launched, and there are now 78 readers. Will they all make it through all six volumes? Probably not. But it's about five pages a day. And what we're interested in are the brethren that are interested and keep working at it and seeing that this is the Lord's special provisions at this time. This is the meat in due season, and they're hungry and thirsting after that. There are ones that are going to finish that up. So there's a lot going on. We're very thankful. When you take a look at the frequently asked questions, for example, you'll see that after the U.S. and Canada, you know, Nigeria and Ghana are right up there in terms of people that are asking questions and reading these materials. And then you'll see the other African countries, and we could start naming them off. We've got activity, and I'm just going to go forward back to this map of Africa. We've got activity in Ethiopia, a consecrated brother there. We've got activity. This is Lake Victoria down here. So we've got a lot of activity in Uganda. The Bible Student Committee doesn't. This would be some of the other brethren, especially the Absco brethren, working there. Although Brother Eliezer travels over to Ghana for meeting with us. brethren in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and that's a whole different story. We're not even going to show you. The brethren there actually live in huts that are covered with grass on top, thatched with grass. That's one of the poorest of the African countries, Tanzania and Kenya. So it's a privilege to be able to do the work together. We cannot do it without the support and the prayer support from the brethren here. And I'm thankful to have had the privilege. I'm thankful, you know, Sister Sue's part of this work also, because when I go, she's got to take care of everything while I'm away. And it's just been one of the greatest privileges that I've had in my Christian walk to be able to see what's happening firsthand and to be able to work with it. And we're going to just end a couple minutes early, but I hope this has been a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to me. And if you'd like any of those reports, we're really, you know, more than happy to share those with you. So I'm going to thank you for that, brethren.